It's time for JT the Brick.
I'm rolling today. Vegas is the sports and entertainment capital of the world. No debate. Every day we have the ability to talk Raiders, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about this time of year. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. I've done this rodeo before. Do we all agree?
Here we go again.
Hey, girls.
JT the Brick.
We want to put guests and callers on the radio who can make an impact. We're going to talk sports, all different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. We have the best fans in all sports calling this show for over a quarter century. We hope that remains the same whenever you want to pick up the phone. Enjoy everything we do, and please always feel welcome to call in and to tweet and to be a part of the show. It's Big Boy Radio. Are you with me? What do you got? You, the Raider Nation, have an opinion. Use the phone like a weapon.
And now,
this is completely BS.
Here's JT the Brick.
All right, we're back. Hour number two of the show. Imagine, Bobby, if every show was this easy and this good, we could just every day come in here and talk about a schedule release. I mean, this is like Christmas here, and we're just having a good time in May, May 18th, and we haven't even done summertime radio yet, man. Summertime radio is coming here. So these are the days that I cherish. I like all the days here, but these are the days I like because it's important content, it's raw, it's emotional, and fans should be, every fan has an opinion on this. Certain days, I don't know if a fan has an opinion on everything I'm saying. That's why I like to mix it up. But today, I know everybody's interested in the Raiders' schedule because it has an effect on you. Pittsburgh has a brutal schedule. So we're sitting here talking about the Raiders' schedule, and if you joined us in the first hour, you know, I'd sound like I was pretty upset about, you know, the two on the road, one primetime game. They say two primetime games. It's really one. It's Monday Night Football in Atlanta. That to me would have been the last game I would have put on Monday Night Football, or second to last, but they decided to do that. Listen to the Steelers' final eight games. Listen to this. Where some have said it's the hardest final eight games in NFL history. And I think it is. Here we go. Ready for this one? The Steelers play the Ravens at the Browns, at Bengals, Browns at home, at Eagles, at Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. Whoa. I mean, that is insanity. So the Steelers are going to have a really difficult time navigating that schedule down the stretch. We got to get the Steelers, everybody. Because the Steelers' back end of their schedule should probably knock them out of the playoffs. And the Raiders can't afford to lose to a non-playoff team here. All the other games, the Aaron Rodgers stuff, getting all the primetime games with the Jets, that bothers me a bit. That's a popularity contest. The Jets haven't been good forever. So why do they get six primetime games before 11? They get it because of one player, Aaron Rodgers. One player. Okay. So Aaron Rodgers is so polarizing, and let's not forget it's the number one market. It's New York. It is the number one market. It delivers ratings more. But they get a lot of games. Sunday night football. We don't have a Sunday night football game. Let me tell you some of the teams. Follow me here. Some of the teams that will be playing hosting or opposing on Sunday night football. The biggest TV show in America is Sunday night football. We're not on it. They left us out. Here's some of the teams that are there. Bears week two at the Texans. Bears. Falcons against Kansas City. They get that at home. Okay, let's go through some other teams. The Giants. The Giants host the Cowboys. The Giants host the Bengals. The Giants, we beat them last year, right? Yeah. We had a better record than the Giants last year. Yeah. They get a Sunday night game. Oh, the Jets. They're at the Steelers. Did we beat the Jets last year? Oh, we did. We did. We had a better record than the Jets, right? They're on Sunday Night Football. That's a good example of a game. The Steelers-Jets. I think that's week seven, Sunday night. Jaguars are on Monday Night Football. Okay? Colts are on Monday Night Football. You know, the Colts are playing the Jets on Sunday Night Football week 11, and we didn't get a Sunday night game. Colts at the Jets. We're not as good as that, I guess. Oh, week 14, the Chargers are at the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Didn't the Chargers win five games? Yep. Dead last, right? Dead last. We'll get that one in there, too. All right. So, you know, if you don't think we got screwed by the schedule makers, I don't think we got screwed to the point where we should be furious, but we didn't get respect, as one executive told me in the building. We didn't get enough respect for our brand and our following and how we've delivered on ratings. Raiders are a good TV show. So that's it. That's all I really have to say. I pretty hard on this. I'm not going to blow a gasket hour number two. I'd rather hear from you. And then we'll see what happens. So I am okay with the schedule. Let me give you one or two big takeaways. Big takeaways. I believe, and this will get clipped by someone, so make sure we get this right. This is going to get clipped and put on some podcast. I believe the only chance the Raiders have to make the playoffs is they have to win five home games at a minimum. They have to win five of their eight home games. All right, everybody? We good with that? Can't go 4-4 at home with this road schedule and tell me you're going to make the playoffs. Don't tell me the Raiders are going to get the wild card if we don't win five games at home. Now, what are the five wins at home? Carolina, either Cleveland or Pittsburgh, that's two. We split with Kansas City, right? So I'm not going to put Kansas City on this list. Denver at home, November 24th, we have to win that one. Atlanta, we'll win that on Monday Night Football. That's our biggest game of the year. And then we have to either beat the Jaguars or the Chargers at home, and we'll do that. We'll be one of them. So that's five. That gets us to five. And then the road schedule where we have nine games, we're going to have to come up with another five, but it doesn't matter if we don't get it done at home. So that's one big takeaway for me. We have to be able to do that. And then we better be pretty good before our bye week. Because after the bye week, after the bye, which is week 10, at Miami, Denver, at Kansas City, at Tampa, Falcons, Jaguars, at New Orleans, Chargers at home, if we're in contention, the season ticket holders of the team, that means we're in contention at the bye week. Because a lot of people have the Raiders 4-5 at the bye week thinking that's good. I mean, we haven't dropped off the face of the earth where we think 4-5 is good. But I notice there's a lot of Raider fans saying if we can go 4-5 at the bye week, then get on a roll there. I think that'd be a little too late. You're going to have to win a couple more games than that. I'm optimistic because I think the Raiders are a good team. I think their roster's better than they're getting credit. And that's why it's going to be very interesting to see how this team plays out. All right, we're going to get out to John in Phoenix. Bobby, we'll start off with him in Phoenix on the Raiders mobile app. What's happening, John?
Hey, JT. I want to say I've been listening to you for many, many years. At 65 years old, I can probably say that I've probably listened to you more than probably half of your audience, probably, because I've listened to you across the nation through many, many years.
Thank you.
But you know what? Being a Raider fan and being locked into the Bay Area, you know, I also listen to KNBR and all of that kind of stuff. But it's just great to know that we have a fine radio man at the helm serving the Raider Nation. And I think people will come to know and see you and hear you and will appreciate what you bring along with all the other people that are on the radio shows coming forward. Now, that being said, JT, I'm going to say that I agree with you with a lot about the Raiders' schedule. But I will also say this, that the Raiders, you know, they have to earn their way to the respect that the NFL will give them. They're not going to give it to them. They gave it to them last year simply because I think they were hosting the Super Bowl, and they probably said, you know what, we're going to promote this because it's going to give us more money and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But as far as the Raider brand and all of the things that you talked about, I concur. They don't give a jack about it. But when we start to win, the Raider Nation all across the country and all over the place will start to come out of the woodwork, and then we will demand, or not demand so much as that they will realize that they have to put us on the prime time schedule. And you know what? As far as the schedule concerns, it is what it is. The Raiders either, you know, they have to step up. They have to, they have to win the games that they say that they're not going to do. I looked at the line for the games. And the Raiders are only favored in a couple of games, but they're within 2 or 3 points and quite a few others. So that tells you that we're right there. You know, in other words, we're not like the overwhelming underdogs that have to show the people, you know, that, oh, my gosh, we're going to beat. No, we're right there. We just have to come through, and we have to put everything together. Now, JT, that's pretty much the topic that you had for today. But, you know, I'm going to add this thing here, and this is really upsetting me. And this about the NFL thinking that they have to get involved in all sorts of the political aspect of this. What is with this Harrison Butker thing? You know, they have now at least a statement condemning a guy who was talking to a predominant, not, I don't know, predominantly, it was a Catholic commencement, you know, and he was giving his opinion, and they felt it was necessary to make a statement, a negative about what he said.
Oh, I would too. If I was the league, I thought some of his comments were very rude and outlandish and very controversial, and he's an employee of the NFL. So, yeah, when I think when you go to a commencement speech and you speak to the women who were there the way he did, I don't support that. I'm not going to talk a lot of politics on this show. I'm not going to get into exactly what he said, but I'm all for that. I'm for freedom of speech. I make my living speaking. I'm for freedom of speech. I've proven that my whole career. But when you act like an idiot at a commencement speech, you don't have the right. You don't have the right to do that in front of parents and kids who are graduating, and it's the best night of the best, most important day of their life. I don't agree with that at all. So again, that's really not what something I want to explore a lot on this broadcast today. It's a schedule release recap, man. Some of these scores are wild. John Rahm has played himself out of the tournament. He's 3 over. He's done. Shoffley's 9 under. 9 under. Rahm's not even halfway through his round. He's 12 shots back. Goodbye. Fire up the Learjet. Maybe Rahm's not playing well because he's not in shorts with the DJ cranking live music in the background. Joe in San Antonio, one of my favorite spots on the Riverwalk. Hello, Joe.
Hey, JT. Thanks for having me on. Definitely agree with the slap in the face, opening up 2 games back-to-back on the road. Mm. 1 primetime game. They're trying to call it 2 with the spotlight. It's a spotlight game now, but the reality is it's not on prime time. But that's not going to change until we can win consistently and that we have top play from the quarterback position, and this year's the year that we're going to start doing that. Some of the good that I did like from the schedule, I like the bye. I like where we're at in week 10. I think that stretch between week 8 through week 13 is going to be very vital to see where this team is going to be, if we're going to be above 500 or we're going to be in playoff contention. I like the F1 week. Mm-hmm. Week 1,
yeah,
versus Denver. F1. That's
the
one,
right?
Close already.
Yeah, my birthday's on the 23rd. F1's that weekend, and they got the game on 24. That's usually around the Thanksgiving game. Yeah, I never thought of that. Thanks for bringing that up about F1. Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm going to go to the torch and wish you happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
I'm either for that game. I booked my tickets, my flight, my hotel, and, you know, F1. I wasn't there last year, but I heard it was huge. Mm-hmm. Had people that were there that told me that it was great overall. I'm gonna pay attention to that week three, week four too, to see if Canelo's fighting during that September. You know, that's a big miss for the NFL. The Raiders should always play during that September 15th weekend. It's a big holiday for the Mexican fans, the Mexican Nationals. It's a big boxing week. The Raiders should be there every weekend. But look, I think there's a pathway to 11 here. We got to split those games between the Browns, Steelers, Rams, and the Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. Those are winnable games. And then we got to have a surprise win between Baltimore, Miami,
yes,
and Cincy, and we could get to 11.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call. That's interesting, Bobby, because when you get ready for the election, everybody says there's got to be a path to winning the election. And the path normally is Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida. There's a path. I like what he said that. It was a very good election talk. The path to the Raiders winning 11 games is what? You got to win 2 or 3 games. I threw this out there. I threw this out here in the chat that we have on YouTube, JT the Brick YT, and part of that was, what are the games that the Raiders aren't supposed to win, which means they're not supposed to win. They're an underdog. Vegas has them supposedly losing. What are those games that they have to win? I would think that would be Cleveland at home, Atlanta at home on Monday night, the Chargers in L.A., because if the Raiders beat the Chargers in L.A. week 1, the Chargers won't be relevant by the last game of the year. Chargers will be gone. They're a 5-win team. But the Chargers could say the same thing about the Raiders. If the Chargers are able to beat the Raiders week 1, they're going to say the same thing, that they'll be coming into Allegiant Stadium at the end of the year playing for the playoffs, and the Raiders will be out of it. Nothing's going to be a must-win for me the first couple of weeks. But as I said, we have to win the game. The Raider Nation fans, we have to win the game at the Chargers. It's a big one. If they would have put the Charger game week 3 or week 4, you know what would have been fun? The Chargers being the Raiders' home opener. That would have been cool. How about if they would have thrown us a bone and said, we open up at home against Carolina, then we go to Baltimore, and then we play the Chargers at home. Something like that. And they decided to give us both Harbaugh brothers back-to-back. We're going to open up with Jim and John Harbaugh. And they go to each other's games when they can. They're brothers. They share all their information, and that's who we're going to get right out of the gate. How about that? All right, do we have Raider Mike, Bobby, in Portland on line two? Raider Mike. Mike, you're up next. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
What's up, JT? It's been a while.
Yeah, Mike, how are you?
I'm good to go, man. Mm-hmm. I left the Stones concert. Thank you, Raider Nation, for the tickets. Mm-hmm. That was
great. You went via Raiders? Stones. Nice, good.
Number five mm-hmm. for me.
Good.
81 was my first. I know how big a Stones fan
yes,
you are.
Yes, I am. What do you think of the schedule? I got to keep it moving today. Go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. Harbaugh's, yeah, you nailed it. Brutal, but the NFL is about ratings. I said this on Vinny's show last week, Clay's show. They're going to give us Harbaugh. They want the ratings right off the bat. And if AP didn't make that run, Harbaugh would be our coach, which is a weird spin to that whole
You're
situation.
Right about that. You know, you nailed something. If we didn't win the 3 out of 5 down the stretch in the division and he didn't get game, I'd still think he would have been in the running to get the job. But one of the reasons was the finish, the beatdown of the Chargers scoring 63 points was one of the main reasons Antonio Pierce got the job as head coach and not interim head coach.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Judge. So anyway, it's all about ratings. Mm-hmm. And my family is in B-more. I think I need to go to that game. I'm seeing that for a couple of years. So that'll be epic. And the ultimate disrespect. The Falcons are nothing to Raider Nation. Never have been. Never will be. No one cares.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And I got to run, my friend. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. He does with Atlanta. There aren't many teams out there that the Raiders don't have a big history with. There's not. Raiders have history with everybody. Everybody has history with the Raiders. But not the Falcons. I'm sure I'm missing a game or two. I'm sure there was some great Falcon-Raider game that I wasn't aware about in the 80s or whatever. I'm sure. I'm not saying that means nothing. But overall, it's not something you put on Monday Night Football at the end of the year as your only Monday Night Football game. I don't like that decision at all. So there's a few things I don't like about the schedule. Most of the schedule I'm fine with because you play to win the game. No matter how they line them up, you're going to play. And I think the Raiders' defense, which is not stacked to completion yet, but stacked at a couple of positions. I just saw the podcast that Robert Spillane was on with Max Crosby. I mean, they're good. They're ready. Antonio Pierce has got this defense really clicking and doing the right thing. I can't wait to see how they play together. What happens if we're in the middle of a game, and let's forget about Kansas City or division games. I'll give you a good example, the Cleveland game. And it's Deshaun Watson versus Aiden O'Connell, just for a conversation. And it's 17-17 in the fourth quarter. And Cleveland hands the ball off up the middle, and Christian Wilkins blows up the play. The ball comes out. Max Crosby scoops it up. First and goal, you know, the next thing you know, Raiders win the game on one play from a guy we didn't have before who's now going to be an all-pro or a pro bowler. That's what they're not telling you on NFL Network, on Fox Sports 1, on ESPN. They're not telling you how the Raiders can be better. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really, from guys who get paid to be on television are saying the Raiders don't have a quarterback. What do you mean by don't have a quarterback? Like, what do you mean by that? Like, you don't think their quarterbacks are any good? Really? Aiden O'Connell, you don't think is good and can win in this league? And Gardner Minshew's won a bunch in this league. Yeah, the guys are saying no. But Joe Burrow, who's always hurt, they think he's Joe Montana. Joe Burrow could have a bad game against the Raiders any day of the week. So it's going to come down to how healthy the Raiders are, how healthy the Raiders are, and what the Raiders are going to be able to do along the way, how they're going to be able to do it, and can they come out of the gate and be fast, in shape, and clicking with what they have to do with 12 personnel, right? No one's talking about Brock Bowers. What happens if Brock Bowers goes into L.A. week 1, has 6 receptions, for 79 yards and two touchdowns because we run some jet sweep with him at the four-yard line and he runs it in. Or, you know, he runs a slant route and he breaks a tackle and goes 35 yards. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how the games are going to play out. But we're just hoping that the Raiders are healthy and ready to go, because if the Raiders are healthy with their roster overall, I think they'll be pretty good. I really do. I think they're going to be good. Brian is in Los Angeles on the Raiders mobile app. Hello, Brian.
What's up, JT? How's it going today?
I'm doing good. What's going on with you?
Off, man. I called your show one time, told you about all the years I spent in prison listening to you.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Love that. You know, just share with you something real quick before I get on this schedule screwing, this job that the NFL gave us. But, you know, my mom used to date who they called the pig, Dave Dalby. I used to spend, you know, he used to come over and hang out at the house, you know, when I was a kid and tell us old Jack Tatum stories and all these guys, man. It was something that's embedded in my roots. It's silver and black, which leads me to why, you know, we should not be surprised that the league is jobbing us on no primetime games. The league has been jobbing the Raiders since the Immaculate Reception, since Pete Rozelle took John Elway out of our hands in the 83 draft. Since, you know, they've been jobbing us for years, so we shouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I love the schedule as far as how they got them roped, because I think AP, for the first time in a long time, AP is going to have these teams motivated, ready to go, playing hostile, mobile, mm-hmm. and, you know, everything else that goes with it. We're ready. We're a team that I think underestimated, and that's okay. We should be. Because AP is going to have guys ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But also, one primetime game is an absolute job.
It is.
From the schedule makers. And I'm sure Roger Goodell had to stamp it and approve it. And it was, so that doesn't surprise me either, that he was okay with the second or third biggest brand in all of sports behind the Cowboys and the Yankees only getting one primetime game.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, this is the same week with John Gruden lost the lawsuit. Now he's going to have to go on appeal, and I know a lot about that. I know more on that topic than the majority of everyone on earth because I'm in conversation with a lot of people involved with it. So that news broke the other day, and then we're finding out, you know, nothing else is catastrophic here. We just only got one primetime game at home, and I thought we deserved more than that because we're Allegiant Stadium with Vegas, with the sports and entertainment capital of the world. I think we do a good job on primetime. We've got a beautiful stadium, the backdrop of Vegas, a good football team. Not an elite football team, but a good team. Good enough to be on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, both those channels once. Once. We're not even on Sunday Night Football. And there are teams that have won four or five games on that broadcast. I don't get that. I think you got to go out of the way to do that. That's just the way I see it. But I'm looking forward to the schedule. The opening up in L.A., That's going to be interesting because as I told Bobby, I'm going to go all in on that game, and I shouldn't. I should be responsible and go one game at a time. We're going to do one at a time. No, not me. I'm not apologizing. I'm going all in on the Charger game. I'm already getting beat up by Charger fans. Chargers in their schedule rollout did that cartoon of the Raiders as a clown, right? All that. Just think that Antonio Pierce is going to have Inglewood, Compton, that whole area of Los Angeles on high alert as the Raiders are coming. We want the Raiders and Antonio Pierce to be welcomed like an army for that first game that he's ever coached in L.A. Very important to me. Very important to all Raider fans. All right. I'm going to say goodbye to the YouTubers who were great for me today. We're over 100 the whole time there, which my son says is great. Daddy says, Dad, it's not bad for someone who just started this. So we're going to do that. Appreciate you. Thanks to everybody. Hit subscribe and share. YouTube, JT the Brick YT. Xander Schauffele, 9-under. Big lead at the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino.
So first and 10 for Denver on the Raiders, 12. Stidham back to throw. Crosby off the edge, giving chase. And drags him down from behind. He leapt, he sat, he conquered, and he races towards and somersaults.
Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders. JT back with you, thanking everyone who listens to the show. Remy Martin, Team Up for Excellence. You have a Remy cocktail lately? Go have one. They're fantastic. Go have a sidecar. Yes, I'm going to see Pearl Jam. My buddy's coming to town tonight to see him tonight. And I'm going Saturday. One of my buddies is double dipping, going to both. So I'm going to go see Pearl Jam on Saturday night at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Man, I've been to a lot of shows there. Vinny's got a new column on some takeaways with the schedule. We always promote Vinny Bonsignor from his column. It just popped up on my screen. Here are five things that stand out from the Raiders' schedule. Toughest stretch. He talks about the three games before the Raiders' bye week in Week 10 are a gauntlet. Yeah, he's right. There is a gauntlet. Every schedule has a gauntlet. And when you look at a gauntlet, it's hard. You got to get through the gauntlet, and Vinny talks about that. The Raiders' three games before the bye include a road game against Matthew Stafford and the Rams, a home game against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and a road game against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Yeah, I would call that a gauntlet. That's why it's important to beat Carolina and beat the Chargers, as I talked about. Number two, the easiest stretch. The good news is the Raiders' schedule lightens up at the end of the season. Okay. The four of those opponents, Derek Carr, New Orleans, the Falcons, the Jaguars, then the Chargers, all four of those opponents missed the playoffs last year. I agree with the great Vinny Bonsignor. The problem with that is if your schedule doesn't yield you early wins, that won't matter down the stretch. So you got to make sure that down the stretch those games matter. Los Angeles matchups are key. I agree with Vinny on this. The Raiders like to say they own Los Angeles, and to an extent they do. They're going to have to win those L.A. games. That's important. And finally, the Las Vegas newcomers. Four Raider opponents will make their first regular season visit to Allegiant. This year, it's the Panthers, the Browns, the Falcons, and the Jaguars. The Browns are the only one with a fan base that may take over Las Vegas like other teams have over the years. Ouch. What am I going to do? I can't argue that. Been some fan bases that have bought more of the tickets than they should have. The pregame season schedule update. So I'm excited to be a part of that. The Raiders' first preseason game will be played at 1 p.m. on August 10th against the Minnesota Vikings. So I'll be in Minnesota. Quick story. Last time, I don't know if it was the last time, but one of the times that we were there in Minnesota, I did the pregame with Nicole Zalumis, and we were supposed to do halftime together. And halftime on the TV sidelines that I was doing, there was a lightning storm. And we had to go fill. We had to go under the bleachers. They were playing at Gopher Stadium, Minnesota Gophers. And we had to kill about a half hour, Nicole and I. That was not easy. It was like, hey, game's delayed. We're going live to you two now. Just talk. And it was like a half hour of talking. And I remember that as my last trip. The Raiders will host the Cowboys and the 49ers. Whoa! At Allegiant Stadium. In their two preseason home games, dates and times have not been announced. So how about that, Bobby? We'll be part of the preseason broadcast, and we have games. The games are at Minnesota, and then the two home games against the Cowboys and the Niners. Those are big boy games. Michael in the Bay Area. Michael, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, JT?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Hey, at first, man, when I first saw the schedule, I was really kind of upset because I saw all the back-to-back games and, you know, all that. But, you know, we got to realize we have to, like you were talking about, we have to take advantage of L.A. when we're in there. Like, you know, we have to take advantage of playing the Chargers. We have to take advantage of playing the Rams, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are almost two home games right there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, those are, instead of eight home games for us, we have 10 home games. Like, yeah. we have to sell out. We have to have more black and silver in that stadium right there. So, you know, the NFL kind of, I mean, I know those games aren't back-to-back, but we have to be able to sell out.
Yeah, we haven't won there. We haven't won a game there. Am I missing something? Because, again, my mind is very rattled today with all the schedule algorithms in my head. Have we won a game at SoFi Stadium yet? Did we win the preseason game there that I did? I don't know. I forgot. I did a preseason game, and then we lost to Baker Mayfield. We lost the Baker Mayfield game, and we lost the Gruden Lightning game, the Lightning game where we had to take the Lightning break there, and we lost last year to Aiden O'Connell. So we haven't won there, I don't think.
It shocks me that we haven't, because we're L.A. Yeah. You know, we have to be able to sell that stadium, make it a home field advantage. That first game has to be able to take advantage of.
Michael. Appreciate the call. Remember, what's good about the Ram game and the Charger game there is the crowd's not going to hurt us. You know, I try to defend the Raiders at home when the other teams have big crowds. When Kansas City came in with a big crowd in Pittsburgh, it didn't hurt the Raiders. The Raiders didn't have to cover their ears up and alter that. So everyone's saying, well, it's not a home game because there's more opposing fans or around equal or whatever. I can't argue that anymore. I cannot argue the facts of what the other crowd looks like. But it doesn't affect the Raiders. The Raiders aren't affected with crowd noise in their home games. You don't hear a quarterback holding their ears. You do in L.A. Justin Herbert had to go to a silent count. Fact, not fiction. We haven't had to do that at Allegiant Stadium. So, yeah, we'd like to see it flip a little bit more. That's only going to happen if you start winning more games. Man, I'm loving watching this golf, man. The golf is beautiful. This Valhalla course is so green and lush and the rough. The PGA Championship is underway. My Knicks are playing tomorrow night. Man, I just love it. Raider Ryan said, we won in SoFi Chargers during the COVID year with no fans. Thank you. Appreciate that, Raider Ryan. Thanks for listening and texting me because you have my number. So we won one game at SoFi, the Charger game during COVID. That was the year with no fans. Thank you for that. So that's what we're doing. 888-702-365-9200. I got a 4-hour shift on Sunday. Mad Dog, I'm doing 1 to 5. And I got a 3-hour shift. I'm doing my show every Monday at Wynn, at the new studio there at Wynn at SiriusXM, which is gorgeous. And they said I have to move this Monday because I'm getting blocked from someone doing their show there. I said, who's that? Carrie Underwood. So it's the first time I've been bumped by Carrie Underwood. So I got a big Sunday Monday. And my parents get in on Saturday night. We're trying to get the contractors to finish up the bathrooms that they've done and get my parents ready to go. So Mom and Dad get in, and they're coming in hard. And they're coming in here for 10 days, one of their longer trips. So I got Vinny in for me one day, and we'll be working through most of it. But I'm excited that my parents are coming out. Rob in Houston, what's going on, Rob?
Hey, I just want to talk real quick. I'm really glad to have the Chargers of the first ones because they're talking a lot of smack for a team that had 12 losses last year, calling Devontae Adams garbage flavored Pop Tart. But I also wanted to talk about how our defense got better with Christian Wilkins, making it easier for Max Crosby and the other D line to get into the offense. So I don't understand how our projection is at a 6.5 when we won 8 games last year, and we have so much coaching staff on this offense. It's crazy how much coaching we have on this team. So
I would agree with you. But you know why they think the degree of difficulty is? They think they're gonna the pros believe that the Raiders are gonna lose at the Dolphins, lose at the Bucs, get swept by Kansas City, even though we, the fans, think we're going to split with Kansas City. The handicappers don't. They think the Raiders are going to get swept. So that's why they have it at 6.5. We believe we can beat some of these teams. The handicappers don't. So that's the problem that we have here, is we got to prove the handicappers wrong.
You're doing a great job, Dave, JT. Have a good day.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. I try to do my best every day. Love being on the radio every day. And I appreciate you listening. All right, you got one more for me, Bobby. Bobby, imagine if every day was like this. Look at how different I am today. You know, I don't feel like I'm talking to myself today. I'm on the big Raiders mobile app. We're blowing up our YouTube page. We're on 9:20 a.m. here in Vegas. So I feel like a big shot today. I feel like I'm on all these different platforms today. Great. Jorge in San Jose, thank you for calling.
JT, thanks for taking my call, man. No longer in the therapy room today, so
good,
nice outside, sunny day, and just bringing some energy, you know, after seeing the schedule release. I was a little bit surprised, really, at first, just not getting a lot of love in the primetime games, but then you know, you sit back and you think about it and you're just like, I know the league doesn't do any favors, but this is the problem that I have, JT. I don't have a problem with the league not doing us any favors. I don't need the NFL to do us any favors. It'd be great. What really pisses me off, JT, is that this team for so long, the history does not get the benefit of the doubt from the public eye, and the NFL does no job at trying to just give this organization a chance. You got Week 11, Sunday Night Football. You got the Jets and the Colts. That week, you got Miami and the Raiders. Yeah. That could have been a return game for Christian Wilkins to be on national TV. He was the biggest splash in the signing of the free agency. And why can't the league just give this team the benefit of the doubt? They've proven that they're resilient over a tumultuous time in Las Vegas, and there's been some peaks and valleys. But, you know, I just hope that Antonio Pierce, which I know that he's going to have it, JT, he's going to have him locked in. He's not going to care. He's going to let the outside noise. I think he's going to want the outside noise to really play a factor. And I think somebody said it earlier today that the X factor for the Raiders this season is going to be our head coach, and I'm really looking forward to see what he's got.
Thank you. Good phone call. Yeah, Jorge said something cool at the end. Antonio Pierce is going to want that outside noise. I haven't heard that described that way. Nice job, Jorge. I think that you're right. I think with Inglewood, Compton, straight out of Compton, NWA, the things that he quotes, the way he dresses, the love he has for Southern California, I think he's going to stir it up. He is. I can't wait for that interview. I can't wait for the interview the week that I interview him in studio for that game and ask him, what does this mean to you to coach your first ever game as a head coach in the NFL in Los Angeles? I'm telling you, he's going to be coming out of the chair. He's really going to be excited about that. All right, what else do we got here down the stretch here, Bobby? We'll do one last call here and get going. The NBA, your Celtics are they're through. You've been six of 8 years in the Eastern Conference Finals. I heard, who was it today? It was either J.J. No, it was Draymond Green last night.
Oh, good.
Because Draymond fills in for Shaq, and he's going to get that job. And Shaq and Barkley were at the upfronts for the advertisers trying to save basketball on TNT because NBC's trying to get it from there. Mm-hmm. And no one does a better job than TNT with that show. It is. But Draymond's the next hire, and he's filling in for Charles and Shaq, and he's going to have a job there. And he said that no one around the league cares about the Celtics anymore. He goes, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals 6 of the 8 years, no rings. Mm-hmm. So you got to win.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because if you go back 7 and 9 years and don't win this title, I don't think the Celtics can beat Denver, but I think, you know, of course they can, but I think Denver's a better team, and they were on the verge of elimination. Imagine if you were in the finals and were playing either Minnesota or Oklahoma City, you'd feel a little bit better than having to play Denver. You still have to beat my Knicks. And I know you're better than the Knicks, but maybe the Knicks could give you a little bit of a fight.
Oh, the Knicks are going to give us a fight. They'll take game two just like the other two series. Yes. No problem, absolutely. But the thing you got to watch out with the Celtics, if they play to the best of their potential for 48 minutes, they can beat Denver in a seven-game series. Problem is, you got to get them to do that, and I just don't have a lot of faith. I'd like to have a coach that's more like the guy in Denver, Malone, who's more of a rah-rah kind of guy, as opposed to Mazzulla, who's just kind of a kickback, laid-back kind of guy. But you get what you get.
I have the Black Hole, theblackhole.com in front of me on my computer here because they got a great website. And the Black Hole, this is the time right now you got to become a member. You should be a member by now. Go to theblackhole.com, click on memberships. You get a lifetime membership for under $60, lifetime member. And then you get all the discounts. So Cisco, Mark Jones, and myself are talking about some road trips, some teamwork here now that they're a proud partner of the show. They've always been my brothers. But now they're a partner on the show, so they're going to put together some road trips. And you Raider fans are going to want to get the discounts. Discounts into the parties. Everything that they're doing. So go to theblackhole.com and become a member. We appreciate that. When we come back, one more final thought. I'm going to have final thoughts on this tomorrow, too. I'm doing 2 days. This is part one of our two-part NFL schedule release recap. Because it's almost summertime. You got to stretch stuff out. Man, you got to stretch stuff out, man. You got to squeeze the rag and stretch it out. So we'll do 2 days of schedule relief. Relief instead of relief. But I'm going to need schedule relief by the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that's, like you said, the mystique. I think that's something that everybody around the league has seen and felt, you know, from growing up watching ball to playing against them in the league. It's a real thing. It's a tangible thing. You get in the building and you feel it. And I think it fires me up inside just to, you know what this team's about and understand that what I could bring to it.
Minshew Mania. JT, back with you. You can't pick a side. In my role, Bobby, in my role, you can't pick a side. I can't pick Minshew over Aiden O'Connell because I see Aiden O'Connell from time to time in the cafeteria, which isn't a cafeteria. It's like a five-star restaurant. And then Minshew came on with us first. He seems to be a really cool guy, and he's going to want to play. I remember this. I got to the Raiders the year before Rich Gannon came, and I remember vividly when Gannon came to the Raiders, no one expected anything. Nothing. I'm telling you, I was there hosting the pre and post. Rich Gannon, the new quarterback of the Raiders, had a good camp. Everyone thinks the guy's good. A journeyman was the name. Journeyman. He had some good games, but exactly similar to Minshew. Rich Gannon with the Vikings and the Chiefs, and he was a Chief. He was part of that Raider week. They were against the Raiders. Talked to Rich about it at length. And no one had expectations for Rich Gannon to be an MVP. Now, nor would I suggest that Gardner Minshew is going to be the MVP of the NFL. Crazier things have happened. I mean, guys have won the Super Bowl like Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, Haas, Jeff Hostetler, former Raider quarterback, won a Super Bowl. Flacco won a Super Bowl. Gardner Minshew, man. Give Gardner Minshew a chance here. Let's see him compete. He's going to be fun watching him compete. No doubt about that. Bobby, give me the final call of Dallas, man. Dallas is playing well. The Luka Doncic, Dallas Mavericks, and Kyrie Irving. I didn't think they could get this far. They've been playing exceptional.
Jaden Hardy will bring it across the line, and this is done. The Mavericks a game away from a second trip to the Western Conference Finals in 3 years. They come in to as difficult a house as there is in the NBA, and they play as good a road game as you could ever possibly ask for and defeat the Oklahoma City Thunder 104-92.
Mavs radio on the call, so that is a big deal as they've been able to, you know, get it done there. Luka Doncic, remember I'd say he's on the Mount Rushmore of complaining to referees. Every time there's a foul on him, he whines and cries and just blanks and moans, but he disagreed last night.
Wasn't a lot of conversation with the referees tonight. Was that something intentional, and how do you think that helps you if it was intentional?
Yeah, intentional. Like I said, just focus on basketball. You know, I talked to them normal without complaining and nothing. I think it was the whole game, nothing. So I just go out there, hoop, have fun, man. Have fun. Was the old Luka. So smile on my face.
Oh, he's an all-star complainer, man. He is an all-star complainer. Tiger didn't look good today, man. Tiger is like an old, old boxer, man, who gave you the greatest fights in the world and fought, but now he just looks so tired and sluggish. So there was a lot of weariness to him today, and, you know, he's trying to get around there, trying to go out there and compete to the best of his ability. Each day, Tiger said, is a little bit different, quote, he sighed after his round, where he finished it one over. One over is not bad, but here's the problem. He's 10 strokes back. So you're one over par at the Masters, and the leader's four under. You're five back. You're like, okay, he's 10 out. John Rahm just is three over for John Rahm. Goodbye to John Rahm. He's 12 strokes back. John Rahm can't beat Tiger Woods today. So Tiger said, some days better than others. It's just that way. My body is just that way. Some day it feels great. The other day it's a bit of a struggle. Tiger had one of the day's earliest tee times at Valhalla, and the rain soaked it in the morning dew, caused him troubles early. His first bogey had a long par save, and he just had a little bit of trouble just getting around the course again. So I want to see Tiger be in the hunt here. I really do. I want to see Tiger be in the hunt, but his body just doesn't look like it can hold on. He's just beaten and battered, walking a golf course when you're not at 100%, that's hard to do. It's hard to do. You might not think it's hard if you don't play golf. If you play golf, you know how hard it is. It's not easy to do that. And tonight, a very important night in the history of the WNBA. We have the two-time champs here in Vegas. They had the ring ceremony. Caitlin Clark's next WNBA game Indiana versus the New York Liberty tonight. This is going to get a big rating. New York, the number one media market. Caitlin Clark made her debut on Tuesday in a tough game. She had 10 turnovers in that game. But get this. In her debut, it was the WNBA's most watched game since 2001. It drew 2.1 million viewers. Now remember, this is another important point. We have WNBA fans listening. Caitlin Clark had 18 million. 18 million people watch her, then 14 million in 12. So that's in college. She becomes a pro, it drops down to 2. But the numbers are huge. 2 million all day long in the WNBA. That was a fun show. I knew it would be. I knew it would be memorable. Bobby, great job. Tomorrow, Friday, we'll talk to Tim Miles. He's the head coach of San Jose State. Coaches versus Cancer Weekend. I'm working with Lon Kruger from Sunday to Tuesday as we raise money for the American Cancer Society. So it's going to be a busy weekend for that. I love being a part of that. Yes, C.J. Watson is going to join us tomorrow. Former Bishop Gorman standout. He had a great career in the league. He's part of the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. And then we'll get into the schedule again. If you missed most of the show today, I'll do a schedule rant again tomorrow. And then we'll get ready for summertime radio, man, in June.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.